27. Oh, yeah. Matthew chapter 27. Let's start in verse 27. Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put him on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Boy, I'm glad I wasn't party to that, ain't you? And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Give us liberty to preach and power. And I pray, oh God, add your blessing to the reading of the Word and to the preaching, lest all of our time be wasted and all of our labor be in vain. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are a couple of places in the Bible that when you read them, they just kind of send shivers down your spine, or they evoke a real sense of emotion. Because you look at the thing and you wonder about the coldness or the deadness of some people's heart, their lack of feeling for others. I never will forget when Joseph's brother kidnapped him and throw him in a pit. And then it said, and they sat down up on the bank up there while he's in the pit and they ate their lunch, knowing perfectly well they were going to leave him there to die. And they sat down and had dinner. Just cold, man. Cold. Then they sold him into slavery and went home and told a big old fat lie to their daddy, and sat there and watched their daddy grieve over the loss of his son. And they went on about their business just like nothing had happened. It's amazing how cold we can be, how cruel we can be, how unfeeling we can be. I never will forget, years and years ago, I read an article in a magazine. A little 15-year-old girl was kidnapped by a serial killer, and he had taken her and gotten her in the back of an 18-wheeler. And he abused her for several days, but then he took an axe and cut off both of her hands and was going to cut off her feet. And somehow, the little girl managed to get away. And a fella stopped and picked her up. She's running, bleeding and bloody and naked, down the middle of a highway, just out of her mind in shock and fear. And I used to think, how could you do that to another human being? How can you be so without feeling? Or how can you be with so cold? But yet you read about things like that all the time. All the time. People kill their own parents. I can't imagine things like that. There's some things that are just hard to get a handle on. And in this little story we just read there, when you get down to verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him. They hung him up on a tree, stripped him naked, beat him senseless, nailed him to a tree, and then they sat down to watch. It's recreation. This is sport. This is entertaining. There's no accounting for the depravity of the human heart. But I want you to back up a little bit. I want you to look at something else, and hopefully the message won't be quite that grim tonight. Yet I think the subject matter for tonight's message is should be thought-provoking. It's something we ought to think about, look ahead toward. If you look down there in verse 32, and said, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross." Now you've got to remember that they had interrogated the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him to court and tried him. Now, it was a mock court, kangaroo court. He was rigged from the start. They find him guilty, and then the soldiers abuse him. They beat him. They plucked his beard out. They smote him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He's been without food. He's been without water. He's been abused. He's in bad shape. He's tried by kangaroo court, found guilty, falsely accused, innocent of all charges, yet guilty. And so now, without an appeal, without any second thought, they immediately take him from the courtroom to the execution. They're going to march him from the common hall to Golgotha. They're going to take him to the place of the skull and crucify him. But he's weak and tired. Another chapter in the Bible said that he stumbled. So the soldiers, not because of any compassion for Christ, not because of any tenderness of heart, but because they wanted to get their job done, stopped and looked in the crowd and at random and for no reason known to man, take a guy by the arm and pull him out of the crowd and force him, compel him to carry the cross of Christ. Now the guy just came there for a show. This Cyrenian fellow named Simon, he's there like everybody else. He's a spectator. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't take Christ's behalf. He didn't stand up for the Lord. I don't know whether he knew the Lord or not. He's just in the crowd and he's watching the show. I'm sure he had no intention whatsoever of getting involved. He just wanted to see what was going on, just like anybody else rubbernecking out on 77. Trying to figure out what's going on. Been a dime's worth of difference. When that Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, it meant there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. But all of a sudden, without warning, they grab this guy out of the crowd and throw this big old tree on his back. And when he protests, they force him, they compel him to carry this cross down the street, the Via Della Rosa and all that stuff, you know. Some people really get into all that stuff. And he carries that cross up Calvary. Wasn't his cross. He's not getting crucified. He hadn't done anything wrong. He's not even a part of this whole deal. This is between Jesus and his disciples and them Romans and them Pharisees. This guy ain't got no dog in this fight. Yet he's pulled into it, made a part of it, and maybe made to carry a burden that was not his. Doesn't seem quite fair, does it? Can't you hear him going down through there? Big old Roman soldier standing on each side of him. He's afraid to stop because he knows they'll beat him up or give him some lashes with the whip. But the cross is heavy. He's got the thing across his shoulder. Maybe the other end's dragging the ground. And he's going down the road in the middle of the mob. And he's thinking to himself, man, if I had just gone to McDonald's for lunch instead of coming down here. What was I thinking? I knew when I saw that crowd I shouldn't come down here. Everybody knows how unpredictable them Romans are. He's thinking to himself, what did I do to deserve this? I'm a pretty good guy. I'm faithful to my wife. I take care of my kids, a working job, and pay my taxes. How come I'm getting stuck with this burden? He went through every scenario that you and I would have gone through when something unexpected and unwanted happens in our life. And don't kid me, when stuff comes up you don't like and you don't want and you wasn't planning on it, don't tell me you don't whine and cry. I've known most of you for years and I've listened to all of you at one time or another whimper about something. And I've done my share of whimpering right back. I found the best way to get rid of a person who's whining and crying about something in their life is whine and cry back. They don't want to hear it, they're gone. So now, what's the point here? The point is this. This guy has suddenly got a burden to bear. It came out suddenly out of the blue. It's forced upon him. He is compelled. It is not his choice. It is of an unknown duration. It is of an uncertain outcome. And he has no choice in it. He has to carry the burden. Don't quite seem fair, does it? But you know, the longer you live, you're going to find that life is like that sometimes. Sometimes you have to carry burdens or bear a cross that you don't understand. You don't understand why that cross is yours. You don't understand why you have to do it. But you need to remember this in all of our whining and crying about the burdens we have to bear. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Nobody lives the Christian life, nobody follows Christ without having a cross. We just wish we could pick the one we wanted. We would pick a light burden. We would take a cross that did not require a great deal of effort, that didn't cost us very much. The thing is, the cross you have to bear, the burdens that you have to bear, are not of your choosing. God does the choosing. And sometimes they just seem to defy rhyme or reason why we have to bear these burdens. But if you're a Christian and you live for Jesus Christ, you're going to. The Bible said, and they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 said that you have to bear your burden or bear your cross daily. I thought about that one time. Do you have to pick up the cross every day? Do you have to bear a burden every day? And the book said, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. If you live for Christ, there's a burden to bear, a cross to carry, every day of your life. You ever wonder why Christianity is not particularly popular with a lot of folks? It's this burden-bearing thing. It's this cross-carrying thing. Nobody wants to do that. What we really want is we all want a good life. We want the blessings of the Lord. We want Joel Osteen Christianity. We want prosperity. We want happiness. We want peace. We want joy. We want satisfaction. We want fulfillment. Don't give me none of this stuff. I die daily. Don't give me this crucified life. Don't give me that burden-bearing stuff. Just give me the good part. That's the kind of Christianity we have in 2008. Man, there's some things you just almost can't preach on anymore, and you certainly don't see them practiced much anymore. If you preach on separation, I guarantee you, you are instantly labeled as a legalist. Nobody wants to hear anything about separation from worldliness. When you preach on burden bearing, nobody wants to hear it because nobody wants to bear any burdens. There's just a number of things. If the preacher preaches on them very much, he's just not going to have much of a congregation because there are not many folks interested in that kind of stuff. What we want is instant gratification. What we want is self-glorification. What we want is peace and joy and happiness in this present evil world. And yet, the Bible clearly and emphatically and unequivocally teaches that if you're saved by God's grace, there are burdens to bear. There are crosses to carry. Now, what qualifies as a burden or a cross? All kind of things. And I've noticed in my 30 plus years that there are all kind of burdens because there are all kind of people. There are all kind of burdens because there are all kind of situations. There are big crosses to bear and medium-sized crosses to bear and sometimes little crosses to bear. Some are big and weighty, and they change and reshape our entire lives. Others are more of a nuisance and a hindrance, an aggravation to be dealt with and overcome. But they're a burden. Anything that makes life difficult, robs you of peace, joy, those kind of things, anything that makes it difficult and you have to exercise a certain amount of determination in order to follow Christ is a cross or a burden. John Wesley had a nagging wife. It was a burden he had to bear. Now, if you know anything about, if you ever read about John Wesley and his wife, to say that their marriage was bombastic would be being polite. It wasn't like Martha Luther and his Katie. John Wesley said he married the daughter from hell. I mean, she walked into the church one night where he was preaching and dragging his clothes behind him and scattering them all down the center aisle of the church while he's in the pulpit. And accused him of being a whoremonger and just, I mean, he had a tough road to hoe with that old girl. Did he deserve that? Was he, as far as history has ever been able to find out, he was as clean as the driven snow. She just hated him and she did everything she could to ruin him. Now that's a burden. That's a cross. How in the world would you like to try and be in the ministry and pastor a church and be the leader of a great movement? The Wesleyan Methodist Church started by John Wesley and have to contend with a wife that wrote letters to all your friends and accused you of every outlandish thing under the sun, who wouldn't cook or clean, who barged into revival meetings and accused you of being a philandering, cheating husband. That'd be hard to deal with. I'll tell you something else, boy. Some of them folks must have had a lot of confidence in him. Amen? I mean, suppose somebody came in here and made those accusations about Brother Lewis or myself. How many of y'all would stand behind us? Now, that's a cross. That's a burden. Sometimes a burden can be something as simple as a nagging wife. Not to say that that's simple. A burden, a cross to bear, can be a totally unruly child that constantly brings you to shame. Where people are constantly whispering about it and talking about it behind your back like you don't know that. That's a burden to have to bear. To go on and serve Christ and live for God and live like you should and stiff upper lip and que sera, sera and all that stuff and maintain your joy in the Lord. That'd be tough. That's tough. My wife gets perplexed because our son lives in our front door and he doesn't come to church. Embarrasses his mother to death. Now, it doesn't embarrass me. I didn't expect any better. But it's a burden. People say, where's Keith? Well, he's sick. He had to work. I mean, you can make up stories and lie, but then everybody would know you're making up stories and lie. Say, where's he at? He just didn't come. He just didn't come. Say, why? Because he probably needs to get saved. That's why. Amen. Is that hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Is that a burden? Yeah, it is. Is that a cross you have to bear? Yeah, it is. It is. So what are you going to do? I'm just going to bear it. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. That's all you can do. Now listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You're going to have your burden to bear. You're going to have your cross to carry. It may not be just like mine. But you're going to have them. You're going to have things come up in your life that are uncomfortable and unpleasant and unwanted and undesirable. And you're going to have to live with it and keep on keeping on serving God. This old boy didn't want that cross, but he got it. He would have put it down if he could, but he couldn't. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of the things that come up in your life that make your heart heavy and make you have to pray and struggle day by day, day after day, that weigh you down and weigh heavy on your heart, you have to deal with them. So, preacher, you're so encouraging. I'm trying to tell you, son, you've got to sign on for the long haul. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to keep on keeping on no matter what. So, well, suppose Miss Hensley run off with somebody. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep on serving Jesus Christ. I'll be a zombie. I'll be destroyed. But I'm going to keep on. I can't even imagine that. But there's been a lot of men couldn't imagine things that happened. Amen. Amen. If one of y'all fall into sin, and it's found out, and we have to vote you out of the church, and I'll say, what are you going to do? I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be heartbroken. It'll be a burden on my soul. But by the grace of God, you just keep on keeping on. Amen? All kind of things qualify as crosses. An unsaved or an ungodly mate. Rebellious and troublesome children. Good kids. Whoops. Let me say it again. Good kids that won't serve God. See, everybody thinks that them kids that don't serve the Lord, you know, they've got godly mama and daddy. They all a bunch of dope heads and drunkards and whoremongers and sluts and this. That ain't always so. A lot of them good little old youngins. Real good little old youngins. They just got no interest in spiritual things. Don't you know that's a burden to some mom and daddy's soul? Debilitating or terminal diseases. The early death of a mate or a child or a sibling. The slow, painful demise of a loved one. An unfaithful mate or the failure of a marriage. And on and on and on and on. I can think of a thousand different things there would be a burden to have to bear. To have to keep on working, keep on living, keep on serving God, keep the joy, keep the faith, yet all these things are in your life and you don't know why they're there. You don't know where they came from. And it's hard and it's embarrassing and it's a burden on your heart. It's a burden on your soul. But there it is and it's yours to carry and nobody else is going to get it and you can't get out from under it. There it is. If you live, and you live for God, you'll bear a burden. You'll carry a cross. You know, one of the things that makes cross-bearing and burden-bearing so hard is folks don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. Man, the first time you've got problems in your life, you're having problems with the wife or money problems or sin problems or children problems, first thing folks do is they want to know what kind of sin you're in. Well, you know, if they'd been living right, living for God, they wouldn't be having this problem. Who told you that? I read that Bible, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. Man that's born a woman is few days and full of troubles as the sparks fly upward. Amen. Nobody's going to get through this life without them burdens. Nobody's going to get through this life without them crosses. You're going to have to carry them. You can try and duck and dodge them all you want, but God, I'm here to tell you, God's got it fixed. You've got to deal with some of them. And it's gonna be hard. And it's gonna reveal what kind of Christian you really are. It's gonna reveal what you're made out of. Do you stay faithful? Do you stay true? Do you stay in God? Do you maintain your good composure and your good attitude and your good outlook when you're in the midst of carrying a burden you don't think you deserve? Or are you going to get mad at God, angry at God, and quit on God? Point number four, and this is the last point, but I have nine little things here that you need to do with a cross. What to do with a cross. What to do with a burden. I don't care where it came from. I don't care whether you deserve it or not. Here it is. It's yours. You got it. You got to deal with it. So, preacher, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked me. Let me explain what you do. I'm going to give you nine keys to success in cross-bearing. Amen? Now you might want to write these down because they're going to come in handy one of these days. Number one, bear it. Ain't no sense whining, and there ain't no sense crying. You're going to, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But just make up your mind, okay, here it is. I've got it. I'm going to deal with it. I can't give Brother Lewis my burden. I can't give Brother Carol my cross. It's mine. It's got my name carved in it. This is from me. I'm supposed to learn from this. God's got this thing designed to teach me something that Brother Carroll wouldn't learn from it. Brother Lewis wouldn't learn from it. There's a lesson in this cross. There's a lesson in this burden that will strengthen me and enlighten me and make me a better person if I will bear this cross. So what do you do when the cross comes? When the burden comes, you're not looking for, you're not expecting, you don't want. You don't know how it's going to turn out, and you don't know how it's going to last, but it's yours anyway. Just do the best you can. That's great advice, isn't it? Yeah, preacher, that's so in. I don't know what else to tell you, man. If it's yours, and God put it on you, and you can't get rid of it, you ain't got a lot of choice. I mean, you could throw in the towel and quit on God. The only other choice is to bear it. Amen? So lesson number one in cross-bearing, burden-bearing is bear it. Number two, crying to God about it. Now we're getting somewhere. We in the vent mode here, buddy. Amen. Now, you know, people, nobody wants to listen to somebody whine and complain. Everybody wants to tell everybody else their troubles and their burdens, but nobody wants to listen to nobody else. So all you can do is whine to God because He's the only one that'll listen. I love the book of Job. When I first got saved, you guys, my wife, I read that thing over and over and over again. I thought there was great wisdom and insight into human nature in the little book of Job. His three friends illustrate perfectly how Christians react to adversity in other people's lives. And Job is the perfect picture of a fellow who doesn't think he deserves what he's getting. So what did he do? He whined and cried, son. Oh, Job bellyached and moaned and carried on something awful. Oh, that I had a daysman. Oh, that, you know, then I'd say this and I'd say that. Oh, that I could come before God and plead my cause. And boy, he just goes on and on and on. And he talks about how good he's been and how righteous he's tried to live and blah, blah, blah. And because he can't figure out why in the world this thing come on him. But it did. Amen. So what did Job do? Whines and cries and moans and groans. I'm telling you something. There's something therapeutic about that sometimes. Sometimes, man, the burden's just so heavy. The hurt is so deep. The shame is so bitter that you just got to get it out. I mean, there just ain't enough. If you keep it in here, you're going to blow up. If you keep it in here, it turns into a cancer. And pretty soon, people around you notice that your personality's changed and you've just gotten bitter and your tongue is like acid. And you say, what is that? That's all that bitterness and stuff and that misunderstanding and the doubt and the anger and the frustration. And it's just boiling up. But listen, the best thing to do is get along someplace and get it out. If you can find somebody to listen, glory to God, put it on them. Pour it all out and let them listen to it. And if you can't find somebody, then get alone with God and pour it out to Him. And say, Lord, why? What did I do? What did I do to make you mad? You taking it out on me because you're mad at the old lady? I mean, you know. A couple years ago, I had to go through a thing and there was absolutely nobody, and I mean nobody, that I could talk to. Nobody. I've never been so hurt and angered and ashamed. I cannot begin to describe to you what I went through. Just almost unbearable. And it was nobody I could talk to, not a soul. Boy, I'm telling you what, I talked to God about that thing. How am I going to tell you all the things I told Him? Because you'd get your feelings hurt. But I was so hurt and so disappointed and so angry. Man, I would vent and talk to God and say some awful things to Him. Say, what was it? That was just hurt and bitterness. I mean, the cross was so heavy. It's what I never, ever, ever anticipated that I'd have to bear. But there it was, and there was nothing to do about it. So what do? When the cross comes, you bear it. You cry unto God about it. You whine and complain about it. Now, assuming it's something you can whine and complain about, something you can talk about, and most burdens are, there's usually somebody around for most things that you can confide in. I'd be very careful about that, but the Bible said, bear you one another's burdens. I've always thought that there ought to be a parenthesis there with caution. You don't want to bear your burdens to everybody because they'll bear them to everybody. Say amen. But sometimes, I don't know what it is. There's certain things. I know God listens. I know God's there. I know God hears and God gives comfort. But if you ever come across, there's certain things that it just, You want to talk to somebody. You want a face in front of you. You want to be able, you want human sympathy. You want human compassion. You want human understanding. I don't know, something that just seems like it's therapeutic if you've got somebody to talk to, not just the Lord. And God knows I don't mean to demean talking to the Lord. I don't mean that at all. But humanly speaking, sometimes it just does us good to have another human to talk to. So when your burdens get real heavy and you talk to God about it, and God says, well, you got the burden and you got to deal with it. Now sometimes, if you've got somebody you can have confidence in, somebody you can trust, go and whine. Say, listen, just sit there, don't say a word. Just let me get this out of my system. I need to get this off my chest. Well, this thing's been bothering me, and if I don't tell somebody, I'm just going to blow apart. And just tell them to sit, put masking tape over their mouth, and then just let go for about 30 or 45 minutes and get it out of your system. It'll help you feel good. It's amazing sometimes how much lighter a burden is after you get rid of all the garbage. Amen. Bear it, crying to God about it, complain and whine about it, endure it and hate it. Now, enduring and hating it is an internal thing where we complain to self about the injustice of the burden that we're bearing. Job's problem was that Job had really tried to live a righteous life. He really tried to do good. Dr. Ruttman used to say, you can't do good and get away with it. There's a lot of truth in that. But Job, by God said that he was a perfect man, upright and perfect. One that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, he really prayed for his kids every day and didn't listen to the foolishness of his wife. I mean, he's a good man. Fed the hungry and took care of the fatherless. And then when God let the devil take his children and his money and his house and his reputation and his health, Job got a little upset and started to cry about it. I wonder why. Would have taken a lot less to get most of us whining and crying. I mean, God put that old boy through the wringer. And he took a lot before he finally got to doing the whining and crying thing. But Job hated what had happened to him in the sense that he hated because he didn't think he deserved it. Now, if you've been an old dog like some of us have and lived like hell before you got saved, I'm absolutely convinced I deserve anything God sends. Anything. God is my witness. I don't have the right to complain about nothing. But I didn't live my life like Job lived his. Job thinks, this is just a little unfair, Lord. Why do the righteous suffer? He wanted to know, because he lived good. And so he hated it. He was bitter about it because he didn't think he deserved it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, unless you live like Job, best thing you can do is figure out no matter what God sends you away, you got it coming. Matter of fact, you didn't get half what you had coming. If you got all you had coming, you'd be dead in hell right now. I was 27 years old when I got saved. I'd spent 10 years in the United States Navy. I deserved to die and go to hell, let me tell you that. Amen. Without spending a lot of time on past lives, I deserve to die and go to hell. It is the grace of God that I'm saved. And whatever God lets come my way, I have still been blessed beyond measure. I think something else you can do with a burden or a cross when it comes. Let it make you stronger. You know, down at the Gold's Gym and places like that, they used to have a sign up there for weightlifters. No pain, no gain. That means if you come in there and do a little workout, have a little routine, if it doesn't make you sore, if it doesn't make you sweat, it didn't do you any good. it's only good if you can do 100 pounds without breaking a sweat, then you ought to be doing 120 or 130 or 140. Amen. And if you can do 20 reps without breaking a sweat, then you need to push that thing up to 35 or 40 reps. If you can do 100 sit-ups or crunches or whatever and not be winded or tired, then you need to do 150. See what? You need to do enough so that one makes you break out in a sweat, makes you sore. Then you lay off a day or two and you go back and you do it again. If there's not any pain in it, if it's not costing you anything, it's not doing you much good. To build muscle, you have to injure the muscle. You have to make it hurt. Burden bearing does the same thing. If you bear the burden, the pain hurts. It's supposed to strengthen you. Supposed to make you a better person. Supposed to increase your faith in God. When you have a burden, when you have to bear a cross, and you bear it wherever it has to be borne, for as long as it has to be borne, and then God takes the cross away, removes the burden from your shoulder, and you feel the lightness, and you see that God can sustain you, and God can deliver you, and God won't forsake you. And the burden wasn't the end of the world. It was a training cycle. Increases your faith in God. Then you've been made better by the burden. You've been made better by bearing a cross. Number six or whatever. When the cross comes, when the burden comes, be drawn closer to God because of it. Now, there's two attitudes people normally take when distasteful things come in their life. They get mad at God for letting it happen to them. I don't deserve this, and I'm going to put it. If that's the way God's going to deal with me, well, I can just get along without God. That's why you see the countryside littered with people who used to be in church, who used to serve the Lord. I guarantee you, 99 times out of 100, if you talk to them folks, you'll find out that somebody made them mad, or they got their feelings hurt, or something didn't go their way, and some little petty thing got them upset, and they just jumped right out of church. First time a little problem came, first time they had a little cross to bear, first time there's a little burden in their life, they just threw in the towel. The countryside is littered with those wrecks. That's one way to handle it. The other way is draw nigh to God. The more trouble comes, the heavier the burden, the more intense the cross you have to bear, the closer you are to get to God. When burdens come, when you have to bear the cross, the worse it is, the easier it is to get close to God. I honestly believe, with all my heart, that sometimes God gives us those burdens. We have to bear those crosses, one after another, because it's the only way God can keep us close to Him. The minute everything gets to going good in our life, we haul timber. We can handle it ourselves. We don't need God. I'll take care of it from here on out, Lord. I appreciate you getting through that little rough spot there, but we're on level ground now. I'll drive. And we forsake the Lord. Not that we quit believing in Him, or that's not what I'm talking about. But that closeness, that relationship, we let it fall apart because we don't need Him. We can do it ourselves. And so God has got to constantly give us a burden or a cross to bear, something to keep us humbled down, something to keep us broken in spirit, because if we don't, we forget all about Him. Isn't that a tragedy? You'd think that the Lord would get us through with something, take that cross off our back and relieve us of that burden, that we would be shouting a victory and we'd be so in love with the Lord that we'd just stay close to Him forever, right? But that ain't how it works. That's not how it works. It's amazing to me how quick we can quit praising the Lord and go right back to the old ways. It's amazing. I could name you person after person after person that I have personally known who got saved trying to live for God and some major thing happened in their life. Maybe they got scared about something or got caught at something. And boy, they just turned and repented and got right with God. And they singing and shouting the victory. And the Lord is just everything in their life. And you see them 2 or 3 months later, and they right back out in the world, ain't been to church in a month. Human nature is a funny thing. When you go through those times of trials, when you have those burdens, draw nigh unto God. Stay close to Him. Let your troubles draw you to Christ. And then stay there. What do you do with a cross or a burden? Look to the future because of it. You don't want to look at the present, do you? It's bleak, isn't it? Man, when trouble comes, you ought to be saying, well, when this thing is over with, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I get through this, if the Lord ever lets me get out of this, so what is that? That's looking forward. And what are you doing? You're making plans to be different after you get through this. After this burden is over, after this cross is lifted, if I ever get through this, I'm not going to do this. Or if I ever get through this, I'm going to do so and so. And that burden causes you to look forward with the anticipation of changing something about the way you are. That's one of the reasons God lets those things come. Those things are meant to change us. After you bear a burden long enough, you ought to learn something about it and learn how to avoid that thing. You ought to be strengthened by it. You ought to be encouraged by it. But you ought to be different on the other side. You shouldn't be the same. I mean, how many times do you have to go through the same process before you get the lesson? You hear people say, well, I'll tell you, preacher, everything I ever learned, I had to learn the hard way. And I always think, I'm telling you, hell, preacher, I'm talking to an idiot. Why do you have to learn everything the hard way? Why do you have to go through the process 4 or 5 times before you get it? And reincarnation people always slay me, you know. You want to go through this process 25 times, 2,500 times, 25,000 times? Before you attain one with the great, whatchamacallit? One shot of this is all I want. I don't want to do this over and over and over and over again. You couldn't con me into reincarnation if I didn't have a Bible. If I didn't have a Bible, I'd be an atheist and I'd die and die like a dog. But you wouldn't get me to do this over and over again. I'm a one-tripper no matter what. What do you do with a burden? If you bear it, you're rewarded for it. When God lets something come your way, unexpected, like this soldier, undeserved, like this soldier, unwanted, like this soldier, and you bear the burden, you carry the cross. You carry it to wherever it leads. You carry it until God takes it away from you. There's a reward for carrying the burden. God looks down and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It was hard. It was tough. I really put it on you down there. But you were a trooper. You stood by the stuff. You stayed in the fight. You didn't bail out on me. And God rewards faithfulness in times of adversity. There's a reward for bearing the cross. So what did this old boy get for bearing the cross? He's got something you don't have. He got a front page seat, place right there in the Word of God. I know where he's from, and I know what his name is. And everybody been reading about this old boy, this Cyrenian named Simon. for 2,000 years in every language, in every culture, in every generation, and in every millennium since Christ. Everybody has read about a Cyrenian named Simon. Now, the world thinks that's immortality, and I know that's not immortality. But the world thinks that if you put your name in history, if you get your name on a stone or a monument, that's your immortality, see? Nonsense. Well, if that's true, then this fellow's immortal. He got his name right there in that Bible. That's quite an honor. Quite an honor. He was a nobody out of the crowd. But God rewarded him for carrying that cross. And you and I may be nobodies. The world doesn't know who we are. None of y'all are a Barack Obama. Thank Jesus. But if you live and breathe, you've got problems, you've got troubles. If you've got a husband or a wife, if you've got children, if you've got a job, you're going to have burdens to bear. You're going to have crosses to bear. In all shapes and sizes, some of them really tough, some of them just an aggravation, some of them just a trial. But you're going to have them. If you bear them, if you put up with them, if you stay true, if you stay faithful, there's a reward. Amen. God, you know what that Bible said? That Bible said that he that gives a man a drink of water in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. You never did anything in your life for God that God didn't take notice of and that God doesn't reward. He'll reward you for it, then he will comfort you for it. When you get to where you think you can't bear it anymore, I know exactly what I'm talking about. When you think it's overwhelming, when you think it's unbearable, when you think you can't take any more, you've reached your limit, God steps in and comforts. Well, I'm glad of that. Because sometimes in life, man, you just kind of reach that point. You just think, I just don't know if it's worth it. I just don't know if I can take any more. I don't know where this came from. This is not what I bargained for. But you stick it out. And finally you get to that point, you're just ready to break. And the Lord comforts. Now, I'm here to tell you, the presence of the Lord can be as real as anything you've ever experienced in your life. And when you get to those rare places, and they're rare, but when you get to those rare places where the presence of Christ is as real as if He were sitting beside of you, there are times in your life you will never, ever forget. You never get over them. And I'm here to tell you that those times when you think back on them and you remember them, they would have been worth any price. Any price. To have that personal experience with Christ where He makes Himself real in your heart and in your mind, where you can honestly think you could reach out and touch Him, you'll have no greater experience than that in this entire lifetime, no matter what else you do. And last but not least, what do you do with a cross or a burden? You accept the burden with His company. Man is born a woman a few days and full of trouble. The heathen have exactly the same problems you got. But nothing happens to them that doesn't also happen to us. Christians suffer the same calamities and same disasters and the same joys in the flesh that the world suffers or encounters. The difference is this. I have company. Since 1972, I've never had to take a step alone. Never been through a valley by myself. Never been in a dark place without a light. Never been in the woods without a guide. See, when you get saved and Christ comes in, He is there to give light and direction and comfort and companionship. The presence of Christ in your life makes life worth living. No matter what kind of burden you bear, no matter what kind of cross you have to carry, you don't have to carry it alone. Isn't that a blessing? That's a real blessing. The thing that separates us from the unsaved people is that loving, caring, compassionate God that dwells in us every day, every minute of our life. That never leaves us nor forsakes us. That never lets us bear our burdens alone. Never forsakes us when we have to pick up the cross. I'm glad. I'm really glad I'm saved. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. You sure are good to us. You've been good to us so long and so often. Lord, I pray, help us not to grow complacent or careless. Help us to treasure Your presence and Your love. Help us to be mindful of it day in and day out. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.